Okay, so we're still figuring out some basics here. I just came in from outside where I thought, hey, I'll record my next fourth, as in back and forth, with you from my basketball court, which is my driveway, where I was just out shooting hoops, which is the only exercise I get, which I might make a subject of this episode. But what I wanted to do first was try out two different microphones. One is the convenient one that comes in the headphones that were shipped along with my new iPhone 11, and the other is with the iPhone 11 itself. And I'll spare you the AB of that because the iPhone 11 by itself won. That's what I'm holding up right now, and I think it sounds pretty damn good. I don't think it sounds as good as the microphone, the mic, the Apogee mic, spelled M-I-C, that I've been using for years as a USB microphone plugged into my computer. But I haven't figured out the right way to do that yet. I use it a lot, say, which are, you know, for Skype and Zoom and stuff like that. And it sounds almost like a broadcast microphone, but this'll do. A quick thing worth mentioning that many listeners or readers or both may not know. One is that I could usually tell when in years past, when somebody was using one of the standard Apple white microphones, headphones, with an iPhone, because the best sounding phone calls and the best sounding call-ins and other things like that almost always were with those headphones, those little $29 headphones that Apple sends along and probably cost them about 45 cents to make, and had the old kind of jacks, you know, the round jacks that are one-eighth inch jacks that go into an ordinary phone, like Apple had through iPhone 6s. The one and the new one that came with this sounds good, but it doesn't sound as good as this does. So that's an interesting thing. Here's another interesting thing. I didn't know until recently that starting at least with the iPhone 7, Apple actually had stereo sound and playback on the phone itself, not just through headphones, but on the phone itself. Just hold the phone up to your nose while you're playing music or something. And, well, sure enough, both the speaker down at the bottom of the phone and the speaker for your ear when you're holding the phone to your head are speakers that it uses in stereo. That was interesting. The other is, and I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they record video in stereo now too. And maybe it's doing this in stereo, though I don't think it is. I think this is mono. But they you can record in stereo when you're recording video with your iPhone 11 or 11 Pro or 11 Pro, whatever it is, Pro Plus, the giant one. That I really wanted, but I got this one instead, your basic iPhone 11, actually record stereo sound. There's a second microphone that's next to the two or three cameras on the back of the phone. And together with that microphone and the one at the base of the phone, they record in stereo, and it sounds remarkably good when you listen back on headphones. I was surprised by that. It's not great, but it's pretty darn good. And I think it's only right if you're recording 4K video that you shouldn't have just plain old mono sound. It'd be good if you had stereo sound, at least stereo sound. So there's that. Now, as for the rest of this, I think I'll talk about health for this fourth, the back and forth, in the dance that we're doing, where I'm the girl, you lead, and I follow. I know that's sexist to say, but that's how dancing works, okay? It just does. This is, you know, podcasting with the stars. says you're bigger than me, so you could lead in so many ways. And I'm also trying not to say, that's a tough one for me. I've been around a son more than 72 times, and that's a long time to be saying, anyway, that's silence instead of an, anyway, health and conditioning and stuff. You mentioned that we're two old farts. My farts are older than yours, by, I guess, 10 years or so, something like that. Maybe less, I don't know, but it's true, we've both been around a long time, and at my age, which is, while, you know, let's see, almost 30 years less than my aunt lived, and more than 30 years less than my grandmother lived, they both lived past 100, I'm still 2 years past when my father died, fell down dead of a heart attack. He was almost a lifelong smoker, and that probably had a lot to do with it. But there is longevity in the family, but there's no guarantees. And we're all, you know, the one thing about being older is that you know you're in the queue. you know that your time is limited and you really need to invest it well. And there are a couple sides to that. One is the work side. And I have a lot to say about that. And a lot of it follows what you were saying about how you'd like to find a perfect home for me, or not find, make, or whatever, a perfect home for me on the web. And that's true. I really want that. And I think that's a subject of at least one voicemail podcast. But I can make a shorter one this morning just on the health side of this. Like, what do I do to stay in shape? Exercise bores me. Going for long walks alone, if I'm not listening to a podcast on the walk, tends to be boring for me. Nothing is more interesting to me than sitting at a computer. I hate to say it. It just is. I'm sitting at one right now, even though I'm holding a phone to my face. It's what I do, right? It's what I do. And it's not good. I'm a desk potato, and that's not a good vegetable to be. But the only exercise that ever excited me, the only exercise I ever got any reward out of and that really attracted me, like I had to do it every day, was basketball. And most of that was just going out and shooting hoops. And pretty much everywhere I've lived in my adult life, starting in college, I could walk over to a basket somewhere and just start shooting. And one of the things that turned me on about that was that I didn't suck at it. I wasn't good, but I didn't suck. My entire skill set consisted of shooting from the outside. That was it. I got into basketball entirely by luck when I was in college, not when I was younger. It didn't interest me, except as a spectator. But in college one day, I was at my cousin's house in North Carolina, five male cousins, my age and younger, and they had an outdoor court and at their house, which is like on at a big old farm of 17 acres of land. So they had a good size, just there, you know, put up a backboard and you've got a court that's pretty good size. And they had a ball sitting there. I was waiting for my aunt to drive me to a dentist or something like that. And I saw the ball, and there's nobody I could be embarrassed in front of. And I was about 20 feet away, and I picked it up, and I shot it, and it went in. And that changed my life. It might have been pure luck. It certainly wasn't skill, not yet. But I thought, that was fun. Okay, I'll do it again. And it went in again. And I did it again, and I don't remember what exactly happened, except that I kept doing it, and I hit a lot. And I realized it's kind of a head thing. You just have to know you're going to hit. Then that was almost a revelation to me, that if you believe you can do something, that's a huge step toward being able to do it. And And I just got into it, and I started playing with friends, most of whom were better than me immediately, because they'd already played a fair amount. But I picked up a lot fast. I became a not incompetent dribbler. I became a not incompetent passer. Well, this is a discovery. I'm resuming now. My wife just called me, and I didn't know what to do with that. So I'm new to this. This is all new shit. I was on health. Okay. So with basketball, I got hooked on it, and that may have kept me alive. I mean, in the sense that every day eventually, I mean, what happened sports wise is that I wasn't any better than like being a backup on the second floor South intramural team in college, right? But I was the guy you brought in because if nothing else got done, good chance he'll hit it for the outside. And there was no three-point line back then. I don't think I would have been as good from that far out, but definitely, you know, in the key, top of the key. But I had some range. I mean, I could hit it sometimes from often enough from 25, 30 feet out. I was good. I was pretty good at that. I wasn't great, but I was good, and in some ways better than most. And unusual for, you know, a not tall, I was like 5'9" in those days, guy with, you know, with not a lot of musculature and frankly small, short arms and small hands. I was not what the guy you'd want playing basketball, but if you couldn't get anything else done, maybe that the white guy over there could hit it from the corner or from outside somewhere. So you know, and I wasn't chosen last. I mean, that was the thing in baseball and other things when we, you know, sports were chosen generally. I'd be chosen last or close to it because I was small and anemic. I still am, but I'm that's just a natural condition, and I make up for it by being high, you know, an ADHD case. But I had this one ability, and when I wasn't playing, which is actually most of the time, I'd just go outside and shoot. So I'd shoot for an hour, and I'd miss it. You know, I'd try and shoot mostly from downtown, and I'd miss it, you know, about half the time, and I'd chase the ball and shoot it again and chase the ball, and every so often make a lame move to the basket, and every so often somebody show up and say, let's, you know, just play some 1-on-1 or 2-on-2 or 3-on-3, and or some 21 or something, and we'd have fun. You know, we'd just play. And that was my, you know, the extent of my sports life. But I shot a lot. I mean, I just enjoyed going outside and shooting. But then, you know, really between living in Boston, where there wasn't a court nearby, and then living in New York, where there really isn't, where I live in New York, and just developing really bad arthritis in my hands, which are now very knobby, and you know, my index fingers are no longer straight, and they're painful. I mean, it's not easy to even write. Typing seems to work, but writing doesn't. Here's the phone ringing. I gotta get out of here. There's a spam call. That's all they are. That's a landline. I'm stepping outside now. I'm not good at it anymore. I'm really bad. I can't shoot for shit. But yesterday I went out three times, and just for the hell of it, and just shot from the foul line, which I don't have, but I know about how far away it is. It's down about 15 feet away, and in the first session I shot 0%. In the second session, I shot 30%, and in the third session, I shot 60%, and that made me feel damn good. It really did. And then this morning, I just went out, and my idea was maybe I would shoot while talking, shoot some hoops while doing the podcast, which I think was actually in retrospect idiotic. But I shot 20% this time, meaning I shot six. I shot 2 out of 10. With no feel for the game whatsoever, for shooting whatsoever. I mean, it was just, I'm heaving it because I can't really get my hands, flat on the ball. I can't feel the whole ball very well because my hands aren't right. But I still shot 20%, which is better than zero. So I'm going to do it twice more today, and hopefully it'll get better. I'm going back inside now because now there's noise outside. So that's the thing. I thought I'd share that. And otherwise, I've actually been in pretty damn good health. Really, I'm feeling good. I'm looking old because that's what happens. But I'm very adrenalized to make things happen, to really make things happen, to not just have a good life, but to have effects. There was a line that Terry Fisher, one of the law professors at Harvard, who was, I think he was the faculty chair at the time that I got my fellowship, which followed yours, and I never would have had it, I don't think, if you hadn't had yours first at the Berkman Center, where he was explaining to the newbies how Berkman worked as a research organization. And he wanted to make clear that it was not an advocacy outfit. It was about research. It was about academics and so forth. But he had this really subtle thing. He said, "We don't advocate, but we do look for effects." And I thought, wow, that's an interesting and strange distinction, but I like it. I like the second part of it. We look for effects. And that's, that's been, I think it's everybody's life, really. We all look for effects, but I really, I have very strong feelings about what I want to make happen in the world, and they are getting simpler and much more, I think, actionable than they used to be. And I'm tossing some topics to the side, ones I've been very involved with, or partly to the side. Or subordinating them. And one is journalism. I think I can talk all day about journalism, but I don't think it's especially fixable right now. I think not as long as it's paid for by tracking-based ad tech. And I think even though we have laws now about that stuff, it's going to be a while, and I'll participate in some conversations about it because it's unavoidable, but it's not a mission in my life to fix journalism. And I don't think it's yours either. I think you and I have very different but very complementary attitudes toward it. And what's right and wrong about the way it's practiced in the world today. And both of us have histories. I followed you as a visiting scholar with Jay Rosen at NYU. So I've been following in your large tracks in various places. Blogging as well, many years ago. But on this, on what I'm doing with Customer Commons, what I've been doing with Project VRM before that, what I'm doing with some other related projects, I'm pretty adrenalized to get narrow about it. And I think having a home on the web that you're talking about, that's not doc.blog, that's not any of the Harvard blogs that I've worked on, that's something new and where I can't help working on it because it fits and it's comfortable. And there's a short... there's a short path between having an idea and putting it down or responding to what somebody else says and putting that down and just being able to write easily, which, by the way, was very much what I had in the old Manila-based blog that is currently mothballed at weblog.searles.com. Thank you, and you and Jake Savin for that. That's still alive and apparently well. But that was easy to write on. I mean, I could just, it was like tweeting. I mean, it was like tweets without a character limit, and it worked really well. And, especially just as a tool, just as something I could do. The Harvard blog isn't like that. It's a WordPress blog, and it's good for writing essays, basically. I've copied a lot of those onto Medium. I don't do that much anymore. I did it mostly because I basically liked the look and UI of Medium a little bit better. But Medium got weird in some ways we can go into later if we want to talk about it. But I don't, you know, that's not the tool for me. There's some other tool. But I'll save that for a much longer, different fourth from here, and kind of let it go with the health stuff, because I mean the bottom line there is that I'm much more motivated to go out and shoot baskets, and that's going to be good for me. So I'll share that much, and back to you.